Death is the universal experience of all people. There's a lot of fear and uncertainty for most of the world in the face of death. As Christians, we know that the Bible alone gives us a proper perspective on life and death. It explains the origin of sin, its universal impact, and the death it's brought to humanity. The Bible also gives us the solution to sin and death. Paul tells us that the answer is in the life Christ gives us. Here's Stephen.
The first epidemic recorded in human history was called the Black Death, and it would later be known as the bubonic plague. It went through China in the year 1346 and then spread throughout India and Persia and Russia and then over into Europe. And before it was over, millions of people became infected, their throats swelling up, their bodies breaking out in black splotches. And after a few days of high fever and pain, they would die. There wasn't any medicine, no cure, no hope. It's been estimated that as many as 200 million people died. And that was half the population of Europe. Well, as I read that, I couldn't help but think, beloved, there's a plague of a different kind sweeping through every country today, and it's a far more deadly epidemic. In fact, everybody infected with it is going to die. It's a plague the Bible calls sin. And the statistics have been consistent. One out of every one infected person dies. Frankly, I have found that people really don't want to talk about death, do they? It's even rare to find somebody who's willing to talk about, you know, growing old. I read a magazine article some time ago that carried some interviews with elderly people, and I enjoyed reading them. One was the oldest living human at the time, and she was 120 years old. I loved her humor. In fact, when she was asked to describe her vision for the future, she responded, "Very brief." Another woman with another good sense of humor was asked about the benefits of living to her age of 102. She was asked, "What's the benefit of living to be 102? And she answered, "Well, there's no more peer pressure." Well, most people don't think it's funny. They don't want to talk about growing old, and certainly they don't want to talk about dying. We'd rather come up with ways to deny it or ignore it or simply refuse to believe it's gonna happen to us. But the truth remains, the human race is terminally infected with the disease of sin, and sin brings death. Now, the Bible happens to give us the only explanation for the origin of sin and the consequence of death, but the Bible also reveals that there's a solution. Well, we're going to sail back into Romans chapter 5 today, and we discover the cure for both sin and death. And I want to break down this divine cure into three truths that we need to understand today. Here's the first truth. Adam initiated the universal epidemic of sin. Paul writes in verse 12, "Sin came into the world through one man," that is, through Adam. Because of Adam's defiance and disobedience, the epidemic of sin entered the world, entered the human race. And by the way, Paul uses the singular form of the word for sin here in verse 12. So Paul isn't talking about any one specific sin. He's talking about our sinful nature, our propensity toward sin. King David wrote in Psalm 51 and verse 5, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Now, David wasn't saying that his mother was sinning when he was conceived. He's saying that he himself was a sinner at conception. "I was a sinner when my mother conceived me." In other words, David is saying there was never a time in my life, and frankly, that's true for anybody, there's never a time in anybody's life when that person does not possess Adam's fallen, sinful nature. We inherited it from our forefather, Adam. And it began, that inheritance began at conception. Well, now here's the second truth to keep in mind. The epidemic of sin that Adam initiated is universal and terminal. Paul writes here in verse 12, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. So sin came into the world, and then death followed behind. The Greek verb came in was used of someone entering a house through a door that's been opened. So I could paraphrase verse 12 this way. Adam opened the door to the house where all of humanity would live, and he invited sin to come in. So sin came in, but then stopped and held the door open so that death could slip in as well. Now, Paul is going to anticipate somebody saying, you know, but the law wasn't given until Moses delivered it, so how can a person be considered a sinner without the law of Moses? And Paul answers that here in verses 13 and 14, basically saying that mankind has always known when they are violating the law of God. And let me tell you, beloved, no matter where you go in the world, even back into the most remote regions of the earth, into the jungle regions, people in there know it's wrong to steal their neighbor's chicken or their neighbor's wife. They know that's wrong. And here's the proof. Between the time of Adam and Moses, before the law was delivered, people were accountable to God. And guess what? They were still dying. And death is a consequence of sin. So we have inherited this epidemic of sin from our forefather, Adam. Paul explains that sin and death are based on the headship of Adam. We've inherited his fallen nature. He's the head of our race. But here's the good news. Verse 17 says, if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now, did you catch the contrast here? In Adam, you have the reign of death. In Christ, you have the reign of life. Adam, as the head of the human race, sinned. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, did not sin. Adam's race is bound to die. Christ's redeemed race is free to live and to live forever with God in heaven. Well, that's the third truth to consider in this divine cure for terminally ill humanity. Here it is. Jesus Christ is the antidote for terminal humanity. Verse 15 says, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Now, if your Bibles are open and you have a pencil handy, you could underline three times here in this text the antidote, this cure, and it's the word free. Free, free, free through Christ. Now, what about physical death? That's part of our terminal condition. We can't avoid death, can we? No, that's the penalty for sin. But through faith in Christ and his forgiveness of our sin, let me tell you what death becomes. Death becomes for us the hand that opens heaven's door. The cause of sin was the first Adam. The cure for sin is the second Adam. The human race belonging to Adam is terminally infected. The redeemed race belonging to Jesus Christ is eternally healed. The prophet Isaiah said it this way, by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Think of it this way. You were born into a funeral procession, but through faith in Jesus Christ, you've become the bride of Christ, Revelation 19, verse 7 says. So when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you leave the funeral procession and you join a wedding procession. In fact, according to prophecy, you're heading for a wedding reception even now. It's going to be like one of those sit-down dinner affairs that costs some family a fortune. The Bible describes a future marriage supper of the Lamb over in Revelation chapter 19, where our union with Christ, our marriage to Christ, will be officially celebrated. And let me tell you, all the wedding expenses for that reception have already been paid in full by the grace of God. So here's the question. Which race do you belong to today? If it's only Adam's race, well, you're infected, terminally ill with sin and heading for eternal judgment. Or if you've believed in Christ and you've received him as your Savior, you've become a child of God, as John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us. You've joined a new race, one belonging to Christ. Are you still just a child of Adam? Or have you become a child of God? Now, you were born first into the family of Adam. You need to be born again by faith into the family of God. And that takes place when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he gives you the cure. He gives you the ultimate antidote, the free gift of salvation. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, on our wisdom journey, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope today's time in God's Word has blessed and encouraged you today. The Bible contains the truth that all of us need regarding the death that is certain. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is your teacher, and he called today's lesson A Cure for the Terminally Ill. Stephen is the president of Wisdom International. You can learn more about our listener-supported ministry at wisdomonline.org. We develop biblically faithful resources in 9 languages. Stephen's passion is to help you know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. And his desire is to provide that kind of content for people all over the world. To learn more about our work and how you can get involved, visit wisdomonline.org. While you're there, explore that site because it's filled with Bible teaching resources to help you grow in your faith. Join us back here next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey.